W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates.
But do you think the Biden administration's calling up Laura Ingraham and making the announcement to the world that we're invading Russia with amphibious troops? Come on, Trump. I mean, and I want to hear fine Trumpsters that want to defend that crap. You know, he's a little late for the early bird buffet. Maybe you people were just naive marks who believed he was a super genius. Then I got some land I'd like to sell you outside of Fukushima.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Our guest is Kristen Elfheim, who is the state Senate candidate for District 19 in the Fox Valley.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
There are really good people that have been in Madison on both sides. And if we're not letting the strongest problem solvers win, we're making a mistake.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
What is dadication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dadication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest.
It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us today. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. So I got this email, I think over the weekend. I don't know when you sent it, but
I like my random weekend
yes,
emails.
Yeah. And no, I was like, that. Oh, this sounds very interesting. And so, Jane, have you ever been in Blue Angels F-18 fighter jet?
I have not been in a fighter jet. I was in a trick biplane, however.
Ooh, that sounds good too.
Oh yeah, it was cool. We're going to talk about different shades of green.
Yes, exactly.
A little bit later.
So I've never been in any of these. The most I can say is I've been on like a very high roller coaster. But our guest for this segment is Dusty Weiss, who is the host of the Lead Balloon Podcast and president of Podcast Media, which is a podcast production company for brands in Milwaukee, based in Milwaukee. And you recently, according to you, I don't know if we've fact-checked this, the only podcast in history to record a interviewed podcast while on an F-18.
Flying through the air, doing the loops, doing the barrel rolls, making myself completely green around the gills. Yeah, we got to make a little bit of podcast history and have some fun with it. Wow.
So how did this even happen?
So, you know my background, and by the way, it is so good to see you again.
Yes, yeah, so
it's
to
been
see
a
you
minute.
Too.
I worked in radio for 10 years. WEKZ in Monroe, WTDY in Madison, WIOD in Miami. Radio is in my blood, and it's so good to be back in a radio station. By the way, the smell of coffee and cortisol in the air is really—it just brings me back home. I hear Jane laughing in the other room.
She knows.
I worked in the news business for 10 years and I loved it. And I always, you know, colleagues from the TV stations or whatever, they would get invited to go on these ride-alongs with mm-hmm. the Blue Angels, the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, in these fighter jets, doing the tricks, telling the stories. And I'm like, someday that's going to be me. And so when I left
radio.
More
of a visual media of being able to watch yeah. people get sick
nobody
versus
wants,
on radio. You're
nobody
like,
wants
how, do we,
radio
how do we show people this? Yes.
In that fighter plane. And so when I left radio and went down more of a public relations and marketing career path, I gave up the dream. I'm like, well, it's probably never going to happen now. And then I started Podcast Media, the company, and started the podcast, Lead Balloon. And on Lead Balloon, we tell the stories of professional communicators, professional storytellers, marketing, public relations people in the most intense situations that they've ever been in. So we did an episode with Amy Brown, who made Wendy's famous on Twitter for being snarky and in people's face. And we did an episode with the people that came up with the Snapple Lady ad campaign in the 1990s.
Oh, gosh, that's a throwback.
Does that drag you back?
Sheesh, yeah.
And it slowly dawned on me that, wait a minute, there's an opening. I could get in the back of that fighter jet again if I pitch it Right. And so I went to the U.S. Navy Blue Angels, the Flight Demonstration Squadron. They've been in operation since 1946, representing the Navy and the Marine Corps as sort of like their poster child at home to tell the story of naval aviation. And I told them, I want to tell the story of these storytellers of the Blue Angels. Everybody's all about the pilots, right? Oh, the pilots are so cool. And they are. They're the coolest, most athletic people you've ever met in your life. But I wanted to tell the stories of the people who create social media content and video content for the Blue Angels, because they also have to ride in the back of those fighter planes. And not only are they flying, you know, trying to stay conscious and not...
Which I heard is hard.
Super hard.
Okay, we'll get back to that.
Super hard. But they also have to operate a DSLR camera, which normally weighs 8 pounds, but under 7 Gs weighs almost... you know, 70, 80 pounds,
oh my gosh.
Right? And so I went out, we embedded with them at the Chicago Air and Water Show. We followed them around, watched how they did their job, learned about all this extra training that they have to go through and the G-strain exercises that they have to do to keep the blood from rushing out of their head and causing them to black out in flight. And then I made my ask. I'm like, so this is really cool, you know, I what you guys are doing. Do you think I could handle it? And they're like, well, there's only one way to find out. Life dream accomplished.
All right.
Invitation to Pensacola, Florida, the Naval Air Base down there. And we got to go up and fly around with the Blue Angels for an entire hour.
You were up there for a whole hour.
How long did it
go by fast? Or were you like, it's only 30 minutes, I got to get out of here?
So I'm kind of a roller coaster junkie.
Okay,
a little bit
so
of an adrenaline
like
nerd. And so I loved about the first 45 minutes of it.
Okay.
All right. Ate it up. And we had the Top Gun music going on as we were coming on here. Like, I reported to the airbase at 6:15 in the morning. I got my briefing, and then I'm walking out onto the tarmac down the line of blue and gold fighter jets, and the sun is rising in the east, and I heard that music in the back of my head. I'm like, this is it. This is my Top Gun moment. Strapped into the back of that thing and blasted off.
Okay, so we have some of it. Our guest right now is Dusty Weiss, who is the podcast host of Lead Balloon and the president of Podcast Media. And we didn't know, because like you said, like the TV guys get to do this because it feels visual. But you did make a video to go along with your podcast. And I think we grabbed a little bit of the audio so people can get a feel for what your experience was like.
We coast easily up to 3,000 feet out over the inlet to the bay, and then air traffic control chimes in with our clearance up to 14,000 feet.
Blue Angel 7, climb maintain 14,000.
Most planes will make that ascent over the course of 5 minutes or so, but the Super Hornet does it in 20 seconds flat.
All right, up we go.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, baby! Yeah!
With no warning, my reaction surprises even me. I am squished back into my seat like it's a rocket launch, and I cannot contain the giddy surprise that spills out of my mouth.
Oh, sorry about that.
Hey, it's all good. Hey, we're going to do a little zero-G pushover coming up here, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, and here we go.
Ascending at upwards of 500 feet per second, Griffin eases us out of that climb into a shallow dive, and suddenly, I'm floating in my restraints. My brain struggles to mediate between what my eyes are seeing and what my inner ear is feeling, and I realize I'm grinning like an idiot as I sink back into my seat after 7 or 8 seconds of weightlessness.
Oh, what a good narration. Such a good storytelling while you're up there.
See, and that's where I push back against the, flying in a jet plane, that's a visual experience, because it's an intellectual experience as well. And so I tried to, I waxed a little bit poetic. By the way, you heard my pilot there, Lieutenant Commander Griffin Stengel from Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh!
The Wisconsin connection right there. So after he pummeled me with 7 Gs of forces, and I did wind up kind of needing to take a little bit easy toward the end of the flight. Then we flew around and talked about how the Packers were doing, which was not well.
Which is not well. We beat the Bears.
We did beat the Bears.
And so, would you do it again?
Oh, in a heartbeat. As soon as I touched down, and I'm sitting here, I've got the AirSec bags strapped to my legs, and I didn't have to use them.
Oh, nice. Kudos.
But I'm sitting there thinking, I'm really sorry that's over. And then the whole flight back, on like the 737 coming from Pensacola back to O'Hare, I'm sitting there going, this is an inferior experience to flying in the F-18. Commercial travel, commercial flight is ruined forever. It's just not as good.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. And so, you, and this was all just mostly to, you did, you made a podcast out of it so people can hear it on Lead Balloon, correct?
Yep, we've got it on our YouTube page as well. We actually turned it into a video mini doc because it is kind of visual at the end of the day.
It's so worth it, Dusty, to see, because I can see you levitating in your seat.
Oh, it was so weird.
You know, when you go weightless, you can actually tell. It's wild.
There's another part where we did the 7G minimum radius turn, right? And that's basically they turn the plane sideways and then pivot as fast as they can through 360 degrees of sideways rotation, right? And somehow when they closed the cockpit canopy up, a little bug got in with me.
Oh,
and so you could see it, like, as we're getting ready for this stunt, this bug, like, lands on the canopy next to my head. And then we go into this 7G turn. I feel like I get hit by 1,200 pounds of sandbags all at once, which was insane. But this bug goes, just falls right off the canopy. Like, there's a little bit of dust in there, whatever. And every time you, like, go weightless, you go into 0G free fall. Like, this stuff is floating around your head. It was just, it was surreal. It was dreamlike in a lot of ways.
And so which of the barrel rolls, loops, 7G, like, rate them as far as, like, most nauseating versus most fun, or whatever way you want to rank them as far as the different maneuvers and ride they give you when you're up there, how would you rank them?
All right. So I learned a little bit of terminology while we're doing this. So the 7G minimum radius turn, and thank goodness we waited towards the end of the flight to do that one, because that one was like getting hit by a truck.
Okay.
Like, again, they teach you these G strain exercises where you're supposed to lock up every muscle in the lower half of your body to push the blood that rushes out of your head back up into your brain to keep you from blacking out. But while you're doing that for 10, 15 seconds, it's like the hardest workout that you can possibly do. And so the 7G MRT, that like took it out of me.
Okay.
Like after that, I didn't feel great. It was nauseating, like running a half marathon is nauseating. Like I just didn't feel great afterwards. On the flip side, the fun stuff, there was one called something, the S. Basically what it was is the plane flips upside down and then pulls for the back half of a loop. And you're under about 4 G's of strain as you're like sliding, coasting down out the bottom of that. That was just fun.
Okay.
Like that was so cool. We did boy, there were so many weird terms for these things. just pulling for a regular loop, that was super cool. At the beginning there, the clip that Jane played, where we just blasted straight up into the sky under about 3 or 4 G's of pressure, that was super cool. And then they call them the aileron rolls, but it's, if you're a 90s kid like me, it's the Star Fox barrel roll, right? You spin like a pig on a spit as fast as you can. That one was wild. We did that twice in 4 seconds, just like that.
All right. Well, so you recommend it for me?
Highly recommend.
Try to get if this you can done find in my lifetime.
If you can find a way into the back of an F-18 fighter jet, no regrets.
All right. Well, in the last minute that we have left, where can people find all of your podcast media, Lead Balloon?
They can check us out. podcampmedia.com/leadballoon. We've got the video up there. We've got all of the episodes up there as well. And then, of course, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, what have you. It's all good.
All right, Dusty Weiss, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was so good to see you.
See
good
you
to
too.
Meet you, Jane.
All right, we're going to take a break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
It's scary. Maybe I'm coming a little bit more over the left, but...
Well, it's not left, it's good governance, Steve.
It's good to be exposed to different ideas, and I do appreciate that you do put that out there on the airways, because a lot of times where you just get a little soundbite of this or a little bit of that, and that's the end of it. You're to be commended for that.
Dave, I'm glad you finally come around to commending the greatest radio show ever, man.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Weather in a Moment brought to you by Wishkosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 28 overnight. Under overcast skies, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 39. Slight chance for scattered showers again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 29. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
You can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. Let us know if you've ever gone up with the Blue Angels and F-18, and if your experience was similar to Dusty's. It does sound fun.
Oh, my gosh.
It does sound like a bucket list type of thing.
Absolutely. And you got to watch the video. It's really terrific.
Yeah. And so we'll post that with along with our blog today. And so you can also check out Pod Camp.
Podcamp.
He got off the air and I was like, I was saying it wrong. It's not podcast media. It's Podcamp Media. He's like, yeah, it's fine. So check out Podcamp Media. Check out Lead Balloon, the podcast. And check out Dusty Weiss. Great. You can tell he grew up doing radio.
Oh, definitely. What a pro.
Yeah.
And just what great, he is a great storyteller.
Absolutely. So speaking of stories, this next story out of Wisconsin is, you know, I think we're all used to, if you have a pet, especially if you have a dog, sometimes they bring you things. I'm sure it's the same with cats.
Cats will do that too.
Cats who spend time outside. But my only experience is my 11-pound Chihuahua, who's mixed with something. This was earlier this year. I let him outside. This was before we moved, so we had a gated yard. But he would find ways to get out because that's what dogs do.
Yeah.
And I was in the middle of. I came home. I need to let him out. Was changing to go on to like do my next thing for the evening. And I come back outside to bring him in. Not only is he outside the gate, but he has brought me a dead squirrel.
Look, Mom.
And we yell, Cliff, put it down. I couldn't tell if it was still alive.
Sure.
And then I'm just thinking, how did this like 12-year-old Chihuahua be fast enough to catch a live squirrel? So I'm pretty sure it was one that was already dead that he was just excited to bring to me. Call my mom. Does he need a rabies shot? I'm very not used to what happens when dogs are dogs and bring you dead things. Well, it was one thing to have it be a squirrel.
Yeah.
It would be another thing if your cat or dog brought you a severed alligator head.
Is that not the craziest thing in the world?
And it's one thing if this was in Florida, but this was in Waukesha County.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Wendy Weisehugel, I don't know if I said that right, said she's seen a lot of wildlife in her 2 decades of living in Waukesha County, but she's never seen an alligator, which is not surprising because alligators are not native to Wisconsin.
Yeah, they don't overwinter well.
And so she was... Like, she wasn't even convinced that she saw one in the water until a few days later when she reported that her 2-year-old rescue cat named Burnt Toast, which is a great name, dragging something up from the lake. And the cat had dropped 2 disjointed pieces of what appeared to be the head of a small but still an alligator. And she said, I put them together, and I'm like, that's a gator. I'm calling the DNR.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if there's been, it's still a mystery. There's like DNR does not know how this head ended up on the shore of a lake. It's not even a river. It's a closed, contained lake for a cat to find. And so the only kind of leading theory is potentially that like an eagle maybe made a trip to one place and then brought it to Wisconsin and dropped it. But I don't know. Like, snapping turtle, fine. What else would you expect to see a cat bring up from a Wisconsin lake? It's certainly never an alligator head.
No.
And it wasn't even fully, if you look at, so I saw this story on WISN, and they did a little piece of it, so you can see the visual, and it's not like it's just the skull.
No,
like, there's still skin on this thing.
Oh, yeah. It looks like what it is.
I would be so freaked out.
I would too. All I can think of is that someone, these exotic pet people,
yeah,
wanted to get an alligator. And when Chunky got too chunky,
they let him go.
Or they let him go. Yeah. I think people do that. That's why they have a boa constrictor hunts in Florida, because people get these animals and then they can't handle them and then they just release them.
Well, because where was it? I think it was Philadelphia. Remember over the summer, that story that went viral? And I think it's someone had, like, the guy, the owner has a TikTok of him and his pet alligator. And the video that went viral over the summer was them going to hit this, the owner and his pet alligator, which I'm now forgetting what the name is, that's his like comfort animal. They were at the water park in Philadelphia on like a really hot day. And so he let a little girl like walk the alligator around like it was a dog through the different fountains and stuff like that. And supposedly, you know, there's the TikTok videos of him, the alligator, being very sweet and cuddly, which is not what you imagine an alligator to be. But maybe it's somebody's pet. I don't know. This is such a mystery. And I feel like this is now going to become similar to the chess story that we do with Greg, that as there's updates, we're going to bring you updates of the mystery alligator head that was found in Lake Keesis.
The Waukesha County alligator.
Oh, my gosh.
And I know where Lake Keesis is.
It can't be too far from where we're recording right now.
I don't understand the reptile attraction.
But how do you think his head came off? That's the other part of the mystery. It's not only that there was a reptile alligator in Wisconsin in a lake. It was that his head was pretty, like, severed.
Would it surprise you that a person who would have an alligator as a pet, when they decided to get rid of it, decided to really get rid of it?
No, it would not surprise me.
See? Kind of a sad end for the Waukesha gator.
The Waukesha gator. Well, I highly recommend, depending on your queasiness level, if you would like to see a severed alligator head.
Here's your chance.
Here's your chance. WISN. We'll link it to today's blog, which you can find always at asgoeswisconsin.com. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, it's St. Nick's Eve. So we'll hear from you, Jane, me, Kristen, and maybe you, the audience, of your St. Nick tradition. Or maybe you just have no idea what we're talking about, because not every family celebrates. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk, from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
the manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then, someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I'm Chris Jakimick. I served in the United States Air Force, and I deployed 3 times. Being a veteran, it's interwoven into your DNA, is really the absence of the connection and the purpose that can really drive a lot of veterans to some negative thoughts. For those who are in a suicidal crisis, the window of time to save somebody's life is very short. Our duty is to protect ourselves and protect our families, and one way you can do that is store your weapons safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic you think we should cover or an idea for a guest that we should have on, or if you just have feedback in general, you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. So we're going to flip it around a little bit because colleague, friend, also Civic Media, WAUK, the Shaw radio host, Don Brown is here because you were in charge of our Waukesha Parade coverage yesterday. And so we thought we'd talk about how that went.
It was spectacular, Kristen. As you may know, I was in the parade last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously it was just such a great feeling of redemption. And to see the Christmas spirit, the holiday spirit come back, kids of all ages smiling, having a great time. And the support we had from the community and even from the state. There were some marchers, you know, from Fondy and different parts. And, of course, Civic Media came, a lot of support. Mike and Roxanne came from Madison. And Corey came from Baraboo and just made everything very seamless. So and support from James Santel and Earl. And sorry you couldn't join us, but open invitation every year now that this has become a thing. And a couple highlights, Kristen. The mayor was marching with the chief of police, Daniel Thompson. And on the schedule, it said the fire chief, Steve Howard. But I didn't see him. He might have been on the other side of the street. And because they were following the honor guard, and then the float behind him, them was the kind of the tribute to first responders and the whole kind of blue, you know, unite with the blue light theme we've had here since the tragedies. I was just going to wave. It was a very somber. But they actually came to us and shook our hands and wished everyone in our radio audience, you know, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And it was just such a great moment. And then within minutes, the Waukesha Dems come by, led by Sarah Rodriguez. And she comes to us and, you know, and not just our leaders, but also, you know, and the county board and the GOP here, you know, like Corey Montijo and Paul Decker with the county super. I mean, it was just a very, you know, we are one Waukesha and we are, there is a nonpartisan tradition here as a former alderman on our council and in our mayor's office. But it was also great to see that reflected in the street and just talking to kids of all ages and families. And one former constituent was, they chose to sit here on our street here in Wisconsin. And Manuel's, and he came over and they were there in the parade. They witnessed all the action and it was important for them to come back. With the Girl Scout troop that was just a few doors down in front of the Easter Seals. There were two scout moms that were also first responders. One's at Waukesha Memorial and the other was at Children's. And so they were there in triage mode last year, and the canine rescue is their charity that they support. Those dogs went out and pulled victims off of the street. Wow. And they were heroes too. And so it's just a great, amazing. They were actually here on Saturday after my show starting to set up. And so we had them here in the studio and they told us the whole story and their daughters were very much involved in the accident, had friends that were. So it was just wonderful. And to see a couple of the victims I knew really well, Eric Teagues and Tyler Budliner, both play baseball with my son. They were in the marching band and they were back. You know, Eric and his family was on top of the float. Eric was on my show just 2 weeks before. And Tyler was also on my show last summer and came over, you know, just Tyler came and gave us a big hug and so many others. If it's okay, I want to take this opportunity. And thanks to my wife for correcting me on this. I kept mentioning, like when the Dancing Grannies came by, I kept mentioning Virginia Sorensen. And I want to apologize because there were at least four members or people supporting that were killed in the attacks last year. And so there was, you know, Tamara Durand, only 52 years old, Leanna Owen, 71. And as you know, the Dancing Grannies, they are forever. They're eternally youthful. And Wilhelm Hospel, one of the husbands who was there supporting. So I don't want them to be forgotten, of course. And then Jane Kulik, who used to wait tables at one of our local restaurants here, Dave's, she was marching with, I forget the name of the community bank that she works with. But you know, those, and of course, Jackson Sparks with the Blazers, and we're a Blazer family, and the Blazers came by, and a bunch of the dads came over, and moms, and, you know, and gave us high fives, and wished us Merry Christmas. And so it really turned into a very festive atmosphere. The floats, too, were unbelievable. Do you ever go to People's Park?
Oh, the right around the corner? I think Jane and I had dinner there or lunch there with my mom on Friday. That was, that's a really fun restaurant.
The float, you'll see pictures of it on social. It was a big globe on the back of a float with like a Christmas theme or a winter theme. And there was very similar themes with, you know, globes, you know, peace on earth. And like I said, it could, and the weather was actually really nice. Christmas parade here has always been like frigid, but yet the streets are filled. And, you know, kids 1 to 99, it's just been a great tradition here. This was our 59th running. And so it went off without a hitch. Special thanks to Mayor Riley, who was my guest on my show last Saturday. And so he was very enthusiastic about talking about how well the preparations were going. And the chamber did a great job in putting, you know, this is their event. So big, big kudos to them. And nothing really other than my mistakes, you know, that I made.
Which,
you know,
we make at live radio sometimes.
It really was my first rodeo because I'd never broadcast a parade before on the radio. So, but I had a lot of help from Jim Santel and from Earl, but especially and Johnny Watermelon. But and Mike Crute, he was on the street on Main Street because we're at the tail end of the parade here in front of the studio. So Mike and Roxanne went out right in the front of the parade and gave us kind of a preview. So for our listeners, they didn't have to wait till 4:15 or 4:20 to catch what's going on with the parade.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So was the attendance, was the streets were just packed as far as people here
it
to support and enjoy everything?
Absolutely.
And was there a balance between joy and more somberness, or was it pretty much more of a celebration?
It really, I mean, there were some somber moments, especially when you'd see the Blazers come by or the Waukesha South Marching Band or the Dancing Grannies, of course, but you looked at them and it was a celebration. I mean, there were some tears, but there were more smiles and just great joy. Like the Blazers, you know, the kids that were same age as Jackson Sparks to the, you know, the teens, it was a big celebration, big smiles on their faces, really happy to celebrate. And I know that that's how, I think Jackson would have wanted it. I mean, I've never met him. I shouldn't speak for him. But knowing that he's a Blazer and we're a Blazer family, that, you know.
And for people who don't know, what does that mean to be a Blazer
family? So the Blazers are, they're a Waukesha, basically. They actually started in my neighborhood in Banting Park, where we raised our kids. And they were started by one of these dads, where as the club baseball became more and more expensive and elitist, the Blazers were the club where, you know, it was just much more affordable for kids to play, and it grew to be where they have select and they have elite, you know, club type baseball. But there's also rookie leagues where kids that, if it's not their primary sport or they just love to play, they get to play. And so it's just a great Waukesha tradition. And there's other clubs here, like the Firebirds, another great club team that started here in Waukesha. So there's quite a few, but the Blazers, they've been around for more than 40 years, so near and dear to my heart. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And same thing, Waukesha South Marching Band too. You know, other people were injured in addition to Eric and Tyler. One of the, I forget, I know his mom Sylvia Lochran. Aiden Lochran was injured, I think Aiden was even playing his instrument. So. So it was really special. And I'm just so happy for all those families. And again, the victims themselves that were able to come back. And, you know, and people think, well, there was the 6 that were killed and there were the 40, 50, maybe 80 plus that were injured. Mm-hmm. But there's also the hundreds that witnessed that.
Yeah.
And the trauma. And I really hope that they're taking advantage of the mental health services being offered by NAMI here in the NAMI building and Healing Hearts. And, you know, everybody deserves good mental health, even on a daily, just to, you know, to live in today's world. But when you witness something like that, I think if you haven't already, whoops, sorry, that's my, my
that
buzzer.
Clue, we'll
that's my buzzer to call you.
We're talking to Don Brown, who is the host of This Week in Waukesha, which airs at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings right here on WAUK, the Shaw. And he is also a former alderman for the city of Waukesha.
And that's correct.
He was the host of our broadcast yesterday of the Waukesha Parade, which was the year anniversary of the terrible tragedy that happened a year ago at the Waukesha Parade. And so any other highlights that you'd want to report on as far as notable floats or
there's
performances?
So and there was the Dancing Grannies were great. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know there was also another group. I believe they're called the Diamond Dancers. And it's the same thing.
Okay.
It's shall we say, golden women. That are eternally youthful.
Jane, how do you feel about being called a golden woman?
So. I'll take that. Okay. So. Anything's better than old bag, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So,
And full disclosure, Don, one of my sisters is in the Diamond Dancers.
That's fantastic.
Oh.
So that was one. So I don't think there was really a dog in the whole group. Like every, all the different parade exhibits, I mean, there were a lot of grateful. There were a lot of Grinches out, it seemed like, in a bunch of like Grinch Santa Clauses. And they range from like the really funny, jovial to like the real kind of mean cyber looking, you know, but
certain Scrooges
giving you the No, I did not. Yeah, because I remember that how you one of your heartaches was not being one of the Cratchits. I did not see Scrooge. And one of my family traditions, I was asked about this yesterday, is we would watch A Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve. It was my dad's. And there's the one with Alistair Sim.
Okay.
Nothing else comes close except maybe the Muppets. I would just say the good feeling and the different, you know, like people walking by. The security too was like, I mean, we had people on the roofs and the security fencing and, you know, just a great police and fire and public works presence. So, and the fire department had their great, and the police, and they all had just great exhibits. City had some wonderful floats and exhibits, and then so did a lot of the local businesses. And there were a couple globes. I apologize. I can't remember which ones, but for sure the one that People's Park did was over the top.
Okay.
Can I just say too, and it's been a long time since I worked on a float, but sure. I did work on floats when I was in high school for homecoming. It's so much work. If you've never taken colored tissue paper and plucked it into chicken wire for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours,
I was the class president. I remember. So, and Earl talked about that too. All the effort that goes into these floats.
That's a lot of work, man.
I don't think I've ever worked on putting feathers in chicken wire afloat. I'm not sure I've ever been on a float
in high
either.
School, it was fun because it was an excuse to get away from your homework and to hang out with your classmates on a school night. And then when you actually were in the parade, too, that feeling of satisfaction that you just like did this really cool project. So I think it's great. And like I said, I was telling everybody last night that, you know, during 4th of July, there's much more time to work on a float. But right as we head into the holidays, even for the kids, there's so much going on that to whoever's the people, the fact that they could devote so much time to building those floats was really, it was a great testament to this community's commitment to making this a very special parade and bringing that back. I think of that that U2 Rattle and Hum album where he's about to do the Beatles Helter Skelter, and he says, you know, Charles Manson stole this from the Beatles and we're stealing it back. And that's kind of what Waukesha did. We took our Christmas parade back. And we made it special again, while keeping the loved and lost forever in our hearts.
So. Absolutely. And I think, you know, living in Milwaukee, but now working here every day and seeing how tight-knit this community is and having the chance to have people like Jennifer Dunn come on and Mayor Riley, and obviously the influence you have in this community, and how much coming together and support there's been in the face of such a tragedy over the last year, and obviously having some chance to move forward with some of the court case being moving, like that was finalized ahead of the parade.
That was over.
And it's so sad and yet heartwarming to know what was able to be balanced that somberness with still celebrating.
Right. No doubt. And I don't know if I mentioned this. They moved the parade back a week. It was usually or traditionally the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Now it's the first Sunday in December. And what that did was it enabled the city to have more employees to choose from because a lot of people take their holidays going into that. I mean, three or four of our top people were up hunting in up north when this happened last year. So there was more ability for support, but also a new tradition. Our tree lighting's always been that first Friday in December. And this year they added a new wrinkle with like caroling and a procession following Santa through Main Street. And they lit these blue lights now. And the mayor has told me, I haven't seen it yet. When it gets dark at night, you have to come back here and see downtown with the lights.
All right. So. I will make sure. It gets so light. It gets so dark so early now. Maybe I'll stick around long enough today to be able to see them turn on. All right. Don Brown.
Sounds great.
Check his show on WAUK, The Shaw, at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings this week in Waukesha. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me, Kristen.
Coming on today.
So, and again, open invitation for next year. Hope you and Jane can join us.
Absolutely.
Thanks again.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. We're going to take one more break. Come back. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
Christmas comes this time each year. Christmas comes this time each year.
The Devil's Advocates.
Jake from Milwaukee, you get the last word this hour.
Okay, well, Trump is totally innocent. But it's obvious that George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, BLM, with Antifa, and then Hillary's emails, with Hunter Biden's laptop, gas, high, Afghanistan, cut and run. I rest my case, Truth.
What about Benghazi, Jake? You forgot Benghazi.
I forgot Benghazi. I'm sorry. And Benghazi, I rest my case.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection? A post ABC News poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire 8-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 28 overnight under overcast skies. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 39. Slight chance for scattered showers again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 29 overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
God rest you, merry gentlemen. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. This is our last segment for this Monday, December 5th. It is 1:50. So when growing up, Jane,
yes,
did you and your family celebrate St. Nick's?
We did.
We did too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It was a very German Catholic thing.
So that's what I found out. So tonight is St. Nick's Eve. So those who celebrate will be putting out their stockings or their shoes to wake up tomorrow morning to have hopefully either a little treat or a little gift in their package. And it's kind of like in our house, it was always like the pre-Christmas Christmas. And the funniest memory I have around St. Nick's and our family celebrating this was having a 6'8 father who was a basketball player who wore a size 14 shoe meant that we would always put his shoes out for St. Nick's because the assumption and the very sound logic was that if it had a bigger shoe out, it gave more space to put more stuff in said shoe. And so I don't know if that was always how it ended up working out, but at least to my kid brain, that made a lot of sense. And so, but as I grew up and I left the state and I started moving other places, I found out that this is not necessarily, this is not as ubiquitous as Christmas is.
Yeah.
And so it's certainly in Southeast Wisconsin, I think parts of Wisconsin, and Evansville, Indiana, Cincinnati, Ohio, Fredericksburg, Texas.
Really?
Newport News, Virginia, and St. Louis, Missouri are other areas of the country that this is a popular celebration, all of which the thing they have in common is a strong German influence.
Because I was going to say that seems so random otherwise.
And I, you know, I've learned more and more about the immigration waves of for Wisconsin. And obviously, I think we know a lot, you know, Ellis Island and how much of a melting pot the East Coast between Boston and New York were. But as far as the other states of how different waves of European than Eastern European immigration went during the 20th century, 18th century, 20th century, where and why everyone went to different pockets throughout the country, to know that what was the German stronghold in these different parts of, because that's pretty broad. I mean, a lot of Midwest.
But Texas?
But Texas.
I wouldn't
and Virginia.
Have, yeah, I wouldn't have expected that.
Seems a little
that.
Different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, do you have a fun St. Nick's memory?
I mean, it wasn't a big, big deal. And we didn't get big presents.
No, we got like oranges. It was like, I feel like it was a piece of fruit, some candy, and maybe one stocking stuffer type thing.
A little toy, yeah. Something, figurine or something, but it wasn't a huge thing. But still, you wanted to make sure that Saint Nick had stopped by.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise, that was a bad indicator for what Mr. Claus was going to do.
Oh, so that was baked in, the naughty and nice thing?
Well, you know, if St. Nick doesn't show up, this is not looking promising for you.
So wait, with six kids, was there certain kids of your siblings who got stuff and then some who didn't on St. Nick's as far as a warning shot to, like, be better before Christmas?
Well, again, don't forget, we're 10 years apart.
The spread. My oldest sister and me,
because I'm the youngest, we're 10 years apart. So I'm sure when my siblings were in high school, they probably didn't get St. Nick things.
Oh, I feel like we still did.
Did you really?
My mother's just a giver, though. I feel like that was...
Well, there were only two of you. It was a little bit easier.
I think if right now I was still living in Rapids...
You'd still get it?
Doing this show from WFHR every day, but living up in the yellow room in my parents' house. At 36 years old, I'm pretty sure if I went to bed tonight, I would wake up this morning and Debbie Bry would have a St. Nick's shoe out for me.
Probably.
And there'd be something for me to build.
I mean, my sister, her daughter is 40. She still gets an Easter basket.
Does she have to search for it, though?
No. I don't think so. Maybe she does still hide them. Check in the oven. That's where it always is.
Or the two. Well, I'll save that story for Easter.
All right.
That'll come around the bend. But the best hiding spots.
For baskets?
For Easter baskets. With no clues whatsoever.